Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nobody Panic live episode, an attempt to do it via YouTube. I've got a brandy and orange.
I've got a gin and tonic with cucumber. Hello. We've got dressed up. I've painted my nails.
I can't stand up because I'm doing the classic thing of I'm not wearing any trousers.
But. I'm wearing this dress like a robe because it doesn't do up anymore. Look, we're all doing our best.
And there's the police on their way to arrest us.
The fashion police are coming for us. We both got fancy earrings on, and then we discovered that you couldn't see them in our microphones. So I'm just wearing one out like a DJ.
And I'm going to put mine next to my toucan over here. This episode, what we're going to do is we're going to take questions from the floor. Wildly arrogant to think that anyone would want to ask us any questions that would sustain an entire hour of the podcast, but that's what we're going to do. And any question you like, I guess. Tess is more up for like what you're watching in quarantine. I was thinking for people at home who aren't watching the live episode and just want to listen to an episode of the podcast, maybe we could try and help you with life things. But hey, like maybe not. Who gives a shit? I've sworn already, so that's the end of that. But yeah, first up, we're going to do our adult thing. And if you have any adult things that you've done this week, please type them in and we'll read them out. That's how it works.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your adult things, please. Anyway, we're so thrilled that people are joining in. Thank you so much.
Before we start as well, shout out to Roy and Margie, my parents, who are watching.
Woo, woo, woo.
They couldn't get into the Zoom quizzes, so this was a lot easier, and they're here. And what adult thing have you done this week, Tessa?
I'm in a house that, and I'm sure everybody living in London in a house that was built more than 10 years ago is surrounded by somebody who built something and just thought, that's fine, that'll do. Somebody did like the most bare minimum job they possibly could have done and then was like, done. That's done. Anyway, so there's this bit in the kitchen, this horrible bit of like MDF that takes up half the space. And it turns out to be hiding this, like the boiler and all these pipes. And I was like, well, this is shit. So I got rid of it. Forget it. I don't need it. We don't need it. No. I got rid of the bit of wood and I was like, look how much space is freed up. But now all these pipes are exposed. And then, as we all know, somebody's developed a copper obsession.
No!
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, look, here is the bit of the wires for the television. Look, I'm obsessed with copper. And anyway, they're copper pipes. And have you been watching the TV show The Repair Shop, Stevie?
No.
It's on BBC One. I cannot recommend it enough. It's like a lovely big barn and several professionals who repair things just sit there very quietly. And they've got lots of paintbrushes and jars and people bring in treasured things that are broken or like teddy bears that have, you know, been loved for 80 years and like grandmother's china and it's shattered or whatever. And then these lovely, earnest people just very slowly repair them. And that is my dream job. Anyway, so I shined up these copper pipes and took all that. Someone had painted them white. I know it sounds shit, but it looks really cool.
It does not sound shit at all.
It does. I can see your face.
No, it's not that. My face is doing that because I just can't believe the amount of anecdotes you have that involve piping now. Like, there's so many.
There is a bit of copper, exposed copper pipe every room. I've got to stop. I'm looking at three in front of me now. I've got to stop. But look, the point was that I think I was having such a low day, and then I very slowly scrubbed it all off with this like wire brush and like shined it up and like painted over it with a bit of copper paint and pretended I was in the repair shop. And
that's what the copper paint's for, not for walls. It's to make pipes look like copper.
Yeah.
There we go. So I'm not going to give you my adult thing. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read through some of the adult things that people have sent us. So Rachel has remembered to put the bins out and changed her bedding. Very crucial.
Hope that they were separate, two separate things.
Yeah, hopefully. She's got a bin in her bed. Julie, sorry, I've not got my glasses on. That was a real, because I wanted to look fit. Okay, Julie says, my adult thing is that I got into Goldsmiths Uni, and in Tessa's voice, say, I am thrilled. And you're
thrilled. Is it that?
Yes, of course it is.
Or maybe it's this. I am thrilled.
I mean, both.
Either way, we're thrilled for you. Congratulations, Julia. That's incredible. Well
and
done.
I'm also thrilled. That's the way I say it.
We're all thrilled.
Amazing. Frida hoovered the flat. Can't remember the last time I did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just living in dust. Okay.
Can I do one?
Oh, yeah, please.
My adult thing. I made a flower garden. This is from COVID-19 home tutoring.
Glad that you took that one. I bowed out because I'm a friend.
Thank you, COVID, chiming in with what they've been up to. My adult thing, I made a flower garden and have watered and de-headed my plants.
Dead-headed.
Understood. Dead-headed my plants very attentively to 2 days and counting. Congratulations.
That's wonderful. I remember when I was little and I realised I didn't like gardening, and my mum would take me to, like, we're going to deadhead the plants. It sounds so fun. But when you don't like gardening, it's sort of like ripping the heads off flowers.
Have you seen The Addams Family?
Oh, please. Have I?
I'm sorry. Sorry, Wednesday Addams.
Thank you.
As if the motif for your whole life is not the Addams Family. There's a bit where Morticia is like pruning some roses, and then she just like snips three perfect roses off the things and throws them in the bin. And that's what I always think deadheading is.
100%. I think maybe a lot of people had this at university. Maybe it was just me. But I had a crap vase that I'd found in a charity shop, and I was like, just to make this university room look a little bit more mature, obviously Scarface poster, hadn't seen it, and then a vase with dead roses in it that just stayed there for the full 3 years of university. I'd move and be like, but my dead roses. And did you? Oh my god, I'm so glad, because I thought about it the other day. I was like, that is weird.
Did you put them in there when they were dead, or they just died?
No, I held them until they died, and then
I wouldn't put it past you.
No, I didn't. I actually just had really nice roses, and then they went black, and I was like,
well, that's the thing. They don't decay in quite the way. It's not, they don't decay in a gross way. They decay in a dried way. So you're like, well, this is a piece. This is a piece now. Is this art?
This goes right. So well with my friend's poster and my Scarface poster. Miles to go, full name, says, my little thing, I bought an incense stick holder to replace my previous method of just burning it in an old raspberry jam jar and hoping the ashes don't set my room alight.
Very powerful.
Being an adult is so much about doing the thing and like checking and making sure rather than just hoping for the best. That's a very non-adult thing to do. So that's really great. Miles to go, which I presume is your actual name.
Holly tracked all her spending for the year so far, and turns out spends a lot of money on snacks.
Correct way to spend your money.
Look, get your dopamine where you can. Meg started doing her physio exercises for her shin splints again. Congratulations. I've got a lot of friends with shin splints. As it was coming out of my mouth, I was like, what are you talking about? I do know a lot of people.
What a weird flex.
So such a weird thing to say. It really came out. Sorry. My housemate had them, and they were I lived it next to it. So I don't have them, but I know what you're going through.
Yeah, having a real spiral about the shin splints.
I am. Sorry for bringing it up.
I would say that, I did actually physio for like 6 months last year, and the movements were literally like, do this 100 times. You're like, what? Like the movements are so boring, and they feel like they're not doing anything, but they are. So it's really great that you did.
That's
it. I gave up.
Yeah.
I was bored. I'm going to just say Mark rather than the full thing. I cleaned my yoga mat. That's good. Maybe I should clean mine. And renewed my parking permit. Wait, so you've got a car. That's That's the adult thing, isn't it?
Clang, bloody hell, Mark.
Then spent my day eating crisps on bed, balanced. I'd say the crisp on bed is an adult thing as well, because it's, there's, again, nothing more adult than doing, you know, when like you are growing old, you know, when you're growing older, but you go to uni or you go away from home for the first time and you're like, I could have dessert before my meal. And it's a real, it's quite a scary realization of, oh, how far can I actually go? But
yeah, it's that you could buy a birthday cake anytime.
Oh, I've not got to that stage yet. Shit,
well, you
I can.
Could if, I don't actually like birthday cakes, it hasn't really appealed to me, but the idea is like, if I wanted to, I could.
Do you mean you don't like sponge cake?
I only like carrot cake because I like the topping. I don't like, they're so dry.
Pop some candles on it. That's a birthday cake. That's There's no such thing as a birthday cake. It is what you say it is.
Oh, right. God, you're so wise, Stevie.
Thank
Jesus
you.
Lord. My adult thing is I spent my lunch break queuing to get into Homebase, haven't we all, to buy a treatment for my insect-infested plant babies, and now I've quarantined them. Quarantine-ception. Well, indeed, a quarantine within a quarantine, so they won't spread.
Yes. That's too much, because that implies done. You've got a plant that has lived long enough to have a baby.
Agreed.
I'm trying to grow an onion. That hasn't worked. That's the end of that. Right.
An onion?
Well, I looked it up and it was like, put the onion in soil or just put it in a big glass. And so I've just sort of put it in a big glass. Nothing's happened. Mm. What a surprise. So we should...
I'm going to end with this one. Okay. Because it's nice and powerful. From Katie McNamara, I took all the cups and mugs down from my working from home office to the kitchen. Because who among us is not living in 2006 hit movie Signs, in which the ending is that there are lots of glasses of water everywhere in the house?
That was not what I took away from that film.
Have you seen Signs?
I've seen it many times.
The end is that there's a whole through line that the child just keeps drinking glasses of water. Okay. And then at the end, it's so convoluted, but what turns out to kill the aliens who've landed on fucking planet Earth is water. Anyway, and then a guy with an unresolved baseball career.
I've not seen the film.
You've not seen Signs?
Well, I have, but none of this is... this is a completely different...
This is new.
Yeah.
Anyway, the many glasses of water in the house is an enormous plot point, and my house looks like that. They're everywhere.
That's great. I'm so happy for you. I love it whenever we watch the same film. I can never remember... It's like if I see like a show or something and it's a friend show, and then afterwards I'm like, I love the bit where, and I've forgotten all the quotes, whereas you remember the most specific things about... All I remember in Signs is a bit where the alien comes out in the video and everyone like freaks out and whack a tin hat on. But that's also in the trailer. Anyway, we're going on a massive tangent here. Questions
pal, take that breath. You're doing so great.
Yes, I forgot to breathe.
Yes, Wednesday Addams. Just take a moment there, pal.
Wednesday Addams. God, I loved her so much that I then went to see Casper as well. She is Christina Ricci / Ritchie. She is. And she's just so cool. Okay, so we got a question from Anna Brownbridge.
Sorry.
Are you okay?
I just can't believe that's the same person.
Oh, yes. Anyone who's listened to the podcast for a while might know, or maybe we haven't said it on here, that Tessa has a problem with faces to the extent where we once did a quiz and she couldn't recognise like Tom Cruise or whoever the Prime Minister was at that point. I can't remember who it was.
I thought it was Colonel Gaddafi. Tony Blair. I've got, if we've met in real life and I've had, please say who you are to me, because I have got quite bad facial recognition problems, but it means that I can't tell who anyone is in the movie. So if they're in an, if they pop up in another movie, it's a huge surprise to me that I basically don't think anyone's ever worked again.
And your worst is Jim Broadbent.
Oh, who is that?
Everyone and
that?
No one.
I think he is Fred Flintstone and it's not him.
But he was in the Flintstones. So,
and then Stevie's constantly points at somebody who couldn't possibly be Jim Broadbent. And then she says, that's Jim Broadbent.
No, Tessa, it's Jim Broadbent.
No, bloody
for
Jim
all
Broadbent.
All of us have seen Jim Broadbent and no, it, that could be Jim Broadbent. He's that good. Okay, so first question we've had. What's your favourite memory doing the podcast together? Says Anna Brownbridge.
Anna, what a lovely question. Thank you.
I immediately have one, which is when we had the debrief. We used to be called the Debrief Podcast, and that folded and we weren't told.
And that's the memory. Thank you, Anna. Next question.
I just love it when things fold. No, we weren't really told that was going to happen. So it was quite a shock. And we didn't also know what was going to happen with the podcast. And then it was became very clear, like within the hour, that the podcast was gone. And we were in a Pret, and Tessa had just run the London Marathon, having done no training. And I was like, I'm really sad. I think I didn't cry, but I was like, I'm really like fucked off and sad. Like, we've spent this like a year doing this podcast, and now, and Tessa was like, oh, buckle up, in the Tessa way. And then was like, we'll just do another one, it's fine, right? And then essentially was like, right, just carry me to the door. And so I was like, yeah, you're right, I'm really stupid, sorry Tessa. Just carried a woman to a door who could not move her leg, so I had to sort of drag her like she was a cardboard cutout of a woman. And I only find that funny now when I look back. By the time I was like, yeah, you're so right. And also, what pain you're in. And I'm
like, yeah, you were in a lot of emotional pain. Mm. And I was in so much physical pain that I didn't care about the podcast.
Yeah.
And I could not stand up. And I don't know if you've ever run much too far, but it's honestly like muscle atrophy. Like, you cannot, it really takes you by surprise how incredibly bad it is. And I couldn't stand and I couldn't walk, and Steve had to carry me out.
Amazing.
That's a lovely, lovely memory. Mine is probably the very first, when we first started doing the debrief, and the very first time we just set up an email account. And we said, email us, it's just a note. And we were like, no one will email us. And then we got this such a sweet email that I remember saving it and reading it to so many people. And it was somebody just saying, thank you so much. I really enjoy listening to this podcast. I'm going through quite a tough time, and it's my favorite thing. And it was the first time ever that anybody had like listened to it. And it wasn't just me and Steve.
and my mum, who's listening.
And your mum, who's
and Debbie. Margie,
she's only just understood it.
Great.
She thinks we have a Radio 4 show, so she doesn't know what we're doing.
We do.
No, so she's very much a, she's a fair weather. She's only just got involved. Perfect. But your mum was there from day one. Yeah, and just seeing that, like, it was of help. And that sort of was like, not to be like, oh, if we've done some good for one person, then the whole thing's worth it.
Oh, yeah, you immediately don't feel slightly delusional sitting in the studio being like,
it just felt like, yeah, okay, we'll do it. Anyway, that's mine.
Really good one. We've got another question from Nessa. This is an interesting one. Nessa says, my manager has asked me to show more leadership at work.
Hey, manager.
Any advice on how to do this? That's a really good question. And I've luckily been watching a show at the moment. And what I'm going to, like, disclaimer, which we should have put at the start, we are not experts. You'll find out quite quickly that without doing research, there's nothing in here. But I have been watching this show recently. It's quite an old show from like the 2000s called Friday Night Lights. And it's, it's about an American football team, but it's not. It's actually about their relationships and the leadership of the coach. And one thing I love about that show, and it's really like sort of, it's made me change how, I'm not a leader at all, but it's made me change how I do things when I'm working with other people. And it's about like, when someone says like, be a leader, you immediately think, well, I should be a bitch. Like, I should shout a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's actually not what people mean. What they mean is you should listen more and listen to the people who you're working with, or I guess who are under you, your underlings. Don't understand office culture at all. Your little underling people, your little prawns. You should listen to them more. And a good way of like going into a new job or trying to be a bit more of a leader is to maybe set up meetings and be like, okay, so what would you like to see from this department, from this situation? Is there anything that you think I could be doing better? Because there's nothing better than someone in authority that you automatically feel deference to being like, I'm just like you, and I will take some criticism. And you can maybe schedule breaks to go into the toilet and have a cry if you need it. But yeah, that would be my tip.
I think that's such a good one, Stevie. That's like, sit down with whoever you're the leader of, and say exactly that, of like, yeah, being able to say, what do you need from me to do your job as best as possible? And to say to them, there's no wrong answers here. You can think, you know, completely outside the box, do think of anything, and give them free will. And I guess leadership is knowing that you have their back. I remember one of my very first jobs I worked when I was about 17, I worked in an Italian restaurant to a man who was mad. And
sorry, every time you say about working, you bring up a new job that I've never heard that you've done. Like it's
well,
it's really impressive.
Oh well, I've done a lot of things. But the very first thing I did do was my mum. There was a right outside where the bus. I got dropped off on the bus in town. Such a pointless piece of information.
But what number bus was it?
It was the school bus, so it was just the bus. Yeah. Thank you for asking, though. It's completely irrelevant questions to me. There was this thing, and so my mum said, why don't you just walk in, a child with no experience, be like, can I have a job? So I did, and I did, and bafflingly, they let me, and I worked there for a long time. But he was completely crazy and horrible to us all. And then one day, some real shit had hit the fan, and it was chaos, and we were in so much trouble with a customer. I actually can't remember what had gone on, but I do vividly remember him literally standing in front of us as the staff and being to the person who was telling us off and being like, this, you'll deal with me. Do not speak to my staff like that. Like I'm in charge now and I will take, and that understanding of like, even though it wasn't his fault, he hadn't fucked up. It wasn't his problem to be like, I'm the boss and my job now is to look after you. And I was like, oh wow, that's leadership. I mean, it doesn't justify how you've been completely crazy for the rest of the time, but just, I think true leadership is like just knowing that your leader has your back.
Yeah. Trust. A lot of trust.
Trust. Have another brandy.
You know what? I'll pour another one. We have another question that I'm going to bring up, which is another work-based one, but I think this is really nice. It's how Asha says, any advice on how to be more confident at work? First job post-uni. Oh, first job post-uni.
Baby.
It's the hardest.
Lord.
If you listen to our... Tess is having a spiral. If you listen, Asha, to... it came out today. Great. It's Tuesday. We did an episode on how to overcome imposter syndrome. And while that seems like it might not be the same sort of thing, I think it is quite relevant to this. So in that episode, Tessa talks about how, like, in one of her first jobs, whenever anyone came over to ask us to do anything, she would, before they'd even said anything, say, I will mess it up. I'll be rubbish. And that's sort of how I remember the first job I did at uni. Actually, it was like even work experience, where you just feel like, what are the rules here? What am I supposed to be doing?
What are the right ideas?
What are the right ideas? I remember being terrified of needing a wee, because I'd be like, oh, then I've got to go to the toilet. What if I can't find my way back? Stupid.
Yeah, they just accept that you will spend the first week extremely hot. I remember
sexy.
Going
really
in.
Really sexy.
Yeah, just all, but you'll never look sexier. No, you'll be so, so hot. I remember going into a meeting, which I didn't know if I was supposed to be in the meeting. And then they like put their head outside the door and were like, are you coming? And I was like, which is, if someone did to me now, I'd be like, oh yeah, sorry, here I come. No, irrelevant. But at the time it was like the worst thing that had ever happened to me that I hadn't gone into the meeting at the right time.
Oh, God.
And I was sat in this meeting and I remember, I mean, oh, I've got my knee up right now, but I think I remember I was sat in a weird way. And I remember being like, I can't get out of this position now. It is crucial that I do not move. And I became so aware of my own knee. I was like, everyone's looking at my knee. In a room of grown-ups who are just getting on with their job, being like, why is that girl so hot, like so sweaty in the corner? So I think just know that that's coming. Know that that's nothing to do with you. That's just you're in a totally new situation in which you're expected to know all these rules and all these like weird little codes and all this like office politics and where the toilets are and all of this stuff. And everybody else is taking it so for granted. And just accept the first couple of days is going to be bad. And then you're going to crest right into it. And there'll be a time in like, honestly, such a short amount of time, like 2 weeks, where you'll be able to look back and be like, haha, remember that time that I couldn't go in the meeting because my knee was so big, you know, like you'll be able to look back. So just ride it out for that first little bit and just know that like you are good and you are talented and you don't have to never downplay your talents and your skills, like, and believe in yourself.
Yeah. Also things like little tricks like making tea for people, and because that gets you talking to people that you wouldn't ordinarily be talking to. And if you are invited to like an after work drinks thing, or we're all getting lunch, like even if you don't want to, I think it's really good to in those first few months just go. And it is quite frightening, but it will just, you know, the whole goal is to make you feel comfortable in that office environment, and know that everybody in that office, even if they've been working there for like 5 to 10 years, are like the same as you in the sense that they quite a lot of the time maybe don't really know what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like they might know the office stuff, but they've got their own stuff going on as well. And you're not standing out by being new. I think like you say, Tessa, when you're new, you just feel so exposed all the time and like you're going to do something wrong. And I think people completely forgive mistakes made by someone who is in their first job so much. And well done on getting a job after you graduated, and keep reminding yourself that you are in a really good position, because it took me like 2 years to get a job after I graduated. I was absolutely devastated. Like, it's so great that you're there. So you've done kind of the hard work. You just have to really like fake it until you make it. Feel confident.
It's exactly that. And just know that like, you're going to feel shit inside. So just tits and teeth.
Yeah,
know?
Sorry. That I get a boob out and then just point at a tooth.
I end up one tooth.
Like That's good. That is good. Yeah. Another question we have. Hopefully that helps. And sorry that we're not spending too long on each question, but I want to get through as many. There's obviously millions coming through, so it's really hard. Is it Ava asks, oh, this is a good one. Oh, advice for being in lockdown with your family and not going insane. Ava, have you ever thought about going on TikTok and making your parents do a dance with you? What is that about? Have you seen those?
You're asking me?
Yeah, sort of in general, really.
Right.
But like, there's so, on TikTok, there's so many, like, it'll just be like a little dad and then he like shoots out and starts doing some sort of, and they're all doing a choreographed dance. It was like, oh God, guys, yes, you're a great family. Well done. You know, it's quite like, in sync? Like,
it's very hard, especially given how many TikToks there are. We're like, well, they look fun.
Yeah.
No, it's not fun in my house. I think just then this is true of like whether it's your family or your partner or your housemates or whoever you're with, to be like, is this them inherently being a terrible individual, or is this quarantine? Is this quarantine? You know, I really love this thread called this relationship. People ask questions on Reddit, relationship advice, basically. And somebody was writing in about how their boyfriend has gone completely insane and keeps calling Pepper, freshly cracked black pepper. And puts it on absolutely everything. And then everybody was like, maybe ask him if he's all right. Like, rather than just being like, fuck him. He's gone obsessed with calling it freshly cracked black pepper. And then he's putting it on brownies, on cheesecake, like covering it and stuff. And then she updated it the next day being like, thank you for the advice, and to say, are you okay? And he said that he just had got so overwhelmed with quarantine that he wanted to come out of it with a new special skill. And so the pepper was his thing. And so I think people are going a bit generally mad, and it's very easy to be like, oh my God, they're the worst person in the world, or I cannot believe I'm stuck with these people, but just be like, hey, they're going through this as well. Quarantine is making up about 80% of their personality at the moment. Like, cut them a break as best that you can. And with your family, just like, it's so hard because maybe you've become a grown up and you've left home, or you've gone away to university, or you've had to come home in the middle of your university year where you're like, I was leaving, and now I'm stuck back here. And that dynamic of like, am I the adult? Am I the child? Where's the power balance here? It's so, so hard to get right. And so I think it's just about, communicating as best as possible and like giving each other space and feeling like, you know, take on as much of the sort of household stuff as you
can. Yeah, it feels like there is like a balance, isn't there? Because when you could be at university, but also you could be much older. Whenever I go home, I immediately have to fight to not revert to be 18 again, which is when I left. And you just feel like I'm better at it, because now I go home. I've obviously been home quite a few times since I was 18 now, but each time I'm better at being like, no, don't complain about that. Like, it's just silly. It's not actually complaining. I just suddenly become incredibly lazy, and I'm like getting up at like two in the afternoon being like, right, it's breakfast time. Like, it's like, oh no, like, hell.
Yeah.
So I think, you're right. It's very hard to fight against that, but there are, rather than like becoming, you know, some sort of Mary Poppins type character, you could maybe like pick three things that you're like, what I'll do is I'll clean the sink every few days. And I'll also just like make sure the outside of the cupboards, when everyone's like opening them and they get a bit like dirty because people got food in that, maybe I'll clean that off. Like, little things like that. Look, I'm just listing things that I try and do in my flat, because
and try and do them from a place of love as best you can, and not from a place of redemptive fury that's like, bang, I'm doing it. Like, I remember my dad shouted when I first moved home after university, and we had a terrible time of it because I was like, I'm a grown up, but also I've got no skills.
Is this when you were applying to be head of BAFTA?
Right. Correct. Same time. So that was the sort of melting pot of where I was at. And I remember my dad shouting at me about not doing something around the house. So I woke up at 5 a.m., like banged around the house, like doing it all very aggressively and very, and so I did all the jobs, but you're like, well, what's that achieved? Now everyone's cross.
Yeah.
More and cross, you know, like I just realized there's no winners, you know, you're never going to come out of it. Like we said once about don't try and solve racism at the Christmas dinner table. Like it's not going to get solved. Like you don't have these huge family debates about things. Like just, you've got to take an emotional backseat and be like, we're just doing our best here.
Yeah. And also making sure that you don't lose your own identity. Like all of these other people, you love them, they're your family, but they are all coping in their different ways. And you need to make mm-hmm. sure that you don't forego your own coping mechanisms because you are living in a functioning or non-functioning household. So it's like a really helpful thing that a lot of people have said when I've just sort of done a cheeky goog is that like to keep fixed, like wake up at the same time, try and have your meals at the same time and try and go to bed roughly the same time so that you feel like you want, like whenever I don't do that, it, regardless of whether I'm at home or not, but it tends to be at home that I went home the week before the lockdown and my mum was out working all day and I was like, I'm going to come home and just do some work and do some writing in the day. I was like going to sleep at like 6 a.m, having bought 17 pairs of brogues from China and then like getting up at 4 p.m. because no one was there. You're like, how was this happen so quickly? So to like make sure that you don't lose yourself in the functioning of the house.
You go a bit Richie Rich.
I haven't seen the film.
No, Home
okay.
Alone.
Wow, so you first thought it was Richie. Yes, you do go a bit Home Alone, yeah.
It was the same boy.
Well, he was not a man, but absolutely was a boy.
It's the same young lad, Macaulay. And you do go a bit Home Alone when he's first there. You're just like,
there's chocolate. And you're like, I feel sick.
You're like, I don't pay these bills. I'll just turn on the tap. You know, like
a little insight into what you do when you go home, just turn on all the taps.
I was just imagining things, but I was like, yeah, it's hard. It's hard. And I think it's just about just try.
Yeah. And you know, keep in touch with friends and like if it helps not have a bitch, but like if you know, if you've got people that you can talk to about the very specific problems, don't like keep it all pent up because everyone on TikTok is doing choreographed dance moves with their father, you know, like it doesn't mean you don't love them, it just means, you know, you're not supposed to be, no one is supposed to be in this close quarters at this point, so any like there's always going to be arguments or, you know, ruffled feathers. Hopefully that helps. Next question, a little bit of a tone shift. Tessa, what episode is your favourite / are you most proud of? That's by Claire Lowe. It's like Blue Peter. And that question was made by Claire Lowe.
I'm going to choose three.
Oh my God, that was so quick, cognitively.
One is the Marie Kondo episode about getting rid of things.
I love that one.
For a moment in it in which Stevie realizes what I'm trying to say in real time. So we're talking about getting rid of something and how if you hold on to something and you're constantly like, where does this live? It's because you don't really want it in your house. And so she chose a thing that she chose something that she loved and we found a place for it and it was very easy. And then she chose this thing that really she didn't actually want in
her giant,
house.
A stone Buddha head that my ex had bought me.
And we'd realized in real time on the podcast that where should I put this, was to do with being given this joke, massive Buddha head that then when she'd been received it, everyone had said like, well, I guess you don't think it's that funny because you're not that funny.
They like gave it to me at a surprise party, him and all of his friends. And they were like, here's a Buddha head. And I went like, oh, that's nice. And they went, oh, right. We didn't react. Oh, right. And I was like, devastated that I hadn't reacted.
So then, like an albatross around her neck. I'm going to commit to that. Why not? Like an albatross around her neck. She was then forced to carry it with her forever, being like, I am fun, actually. And then we were like, let it go. That one, the being on time, I think is a really one, because I think that was for both of us really like, oh, wow, okay, I get this is much deeper than we thought. And then the last two very quickly, one is the wine episode, which we get lots of messages about because it was a real passion project of mine that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And I think Phoebe is so fantastic on it. And I think it's really fun. And then the guided run episode that we just did again.
I'm very proud of that.
So that have you got? Sorry, I chose.
No,
four.
I've got one. I'll choose one, which is similar to the Buddha head in real time, where we did how to be more assertive. And I hope it was for Nobody Panic, and it wasn't for the debrief. Mm-hmm. I think it was for Nobody Panic. And in the assertiveness episode, I think we both went into it being like, "Well, this is going to be about being like." No, a lot. And it turned out that it was Tessa in real time realized that she had a characteristic of a personality trait where in a group setting, if say like everyone's had a drink and then we're all like, oh, where should we go to eat? Tessa's always like, oh, I don't mind, anywhere. And in her head, she was like, I'm just being like easygoing. But actually she was being not assertive because she didn't want to say, I think worker mamas, in case everyone was like, no, we don't want to go there. And then the judgment of the choice was laid on her shoulders. Like if we circle back to the albatross. And it was really nice watching. It was nice watching you realize that, oh, I maybe have an assertiveness problem, which to be honest, I wouldn't have thought you had a problem with either. But it was like, that it's so multi-layered as well. And also there's one coming up, which we haven't aired yet because we did it before lockdown and we thought let's do these kind of remote ones first, which is how to admit you're wrong. And when I said to Tessa, oh, we should do an episode on how to admit you're wrong, she went, no. And I was like, what's that face for? What do you mean? She's like, well, because I've never been. And then she realized how absolutely insane that was. And then the episode was really nice because it was like talking about how sometimes
how I'm wrong.
Not at all, but how like we can all be wrong and not realize that we are. So that's their mine. Lovely question.
Should we hear that one from Bronnie? It says, I've been fantasizing so much about training to be a yoga teacher. I believe so much in it, but I struggle with having the self-belief. What should I do?
Be a yoga teacher! Oh,
Bronnie! Imagine if we were mate. We don't think
it
you
sounds
can
like
either.
You can't.
Oh, God. I think...
Friend of mine just became a yoga teacher, and he is quite a successful West End musical theatre actor. Sure. not even quite as successful, like a fully successful one. But he took some time out and just became a yoga teacher. And he has, it's a he, of course, and he has the confidence of a man. Not all men have confidence, but a lot of men do have confidence, just don't want to stereotype. But he was very much like, yeah, I'll do it. And I think everything that I've ever done that I've wanted to do that I've been like, oh, I wish I could, but I can't. Whenever I've like the pain and the kind of frustration of not doing it has been so much worse than the fear you feel when you start. You know what I mean? So it's totally worth doing anything that you ever go, oh, I'd quite like to do that, because you will always benefit, because you're never going to be a yoga teacher if you don't even try. And there's no way you won't.
Yeah.
Once you get that ball rolling, Bronnie, there's no way you won't be a yoga teacher. You'll just be one. You will learn and then you'll be one.
Yeah. And I think we're so good at tricking ourselves into being like, oh, I want to be a yoga teacher. And then we think like all these people we imagine in our head are going to be like, oh, I think she can be a yoga teacher, does she? Like, oh, hark, madam. Or she's no good at yoga or ever. It's like, who's saying that? Like, you've made those people up. Like, they're imaginary. And I think it's very, very easy to trot out this like, no regrets, or like, you know, nobody regrets the things they did on their, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Instagram
you know.
Quotes it's with like, a mountain and a girl in it.
Yeah. But they are really, they're cliche because they're true, which is like, you've only got one life, you know, don't live a less version of it because you're scared of what other people will think of you. Like, if this is your dream, like go.
If it's a time management problem and you're thinking like, well, I've got my job and how do I get like yoga in, you know, what's always good is to start. Don't go like, okay, so I guess in 4 months I'll be a yoga teacher. Like, start small. So be like, okay, what's the next step? And like, have a little roadmap that you plan out in a notebook or in a beautiful notebook or a shitty piece of paper, and you just plan a little roadmap out, but don't ever look at anything other than the next step. So you're like, all I have to do, it doesn't matter if I pull out or I don't want to do anymore. At any point, you can choose whether you want to continue down the path or not, but just focus on that one step.
Yes. And now we're in your
go on.
It's about the film The Love Guru.
Wow. Okay.
But he starts a radio show, and this fireman calls up and says, I'm getting married today, but I don't actually love this girl. I'm in love with the the hose man on my fire truck. And then he says, the love guru says, if your heart beats for the hose man, then you must go to the hose man. And I think about it all the time. And I sometimes even say it out loud, which is a mistake because nobody knows the film. But my point is, like, if your heart beats for a yoga teacher, to be a yoga teacher, like, go be the yoga teacher, like, do those things. And exactly like Stevie's saying, like, starting a class tomorrow with 100 people where you are the teacher, certainly overwhelming. Doing just 5 minutes of your online yoga training tomorrow, mm-hmm. achievable, you know, like tiny little baby steps until you're like, oh, look how far I look. How
also,
far
may
I,
I say, absolutely bang on relevant quote, Tessa. That was great. Always, always actually relevant when you push her. So, Stephanie Trask, how do you maintain focus on your work while working from home? The answer is, if you're used to the office environment and not just eat all of the biscuits.
Clear your workspace.
Oh, okay. Tessa's right in. Okay, come on.
She comes in strong and hard. Clear your workspace, have a proper chair. Don't do it in the bed. What are you doing?
Oh no, she's too much.
She says, it's too much. So clear your workspace, which is something my dad's been shouting at me since I was 5 years old, and I would sit down and do a painting in the middle of other stuff. Clear your workspace, which is something you will either do or you will spend the next 10 years ignoring and then be like, why is everything covered?
And then you'll do a podcast and you'll tell someone called Stephanie to clear their workspace. And that's what happens.
And you'll finally understand what your dad was saying, which is clear your, just, this is the space that is for work. And I'm not listening to my own advice because mine is over there and it's covered in nonsense. But clear the space. Just you and whatever your work implement tools are, the computer, the notepad, the stuff. It's like, this is the business here. And then it's in a separate space to everything else. Ideally, it's in a separate room, but we can't all have a beautiful mahogany study. And get yourself a timer of some kind to be like, and now I will be doing this much work for this many minutes. There's various sort of techniques like the Pomodoro or shit like that. That's like 20 minutes on, 10 minutes off, I think
that's it. Also treats, which has gone down quite badly treats. In the past when I've been obsessed with treats and work, and Tess has been like, that's not the yes. point, you can't work for treats. I'm like, I am a dog.
It's not, yes, I think no to the treats. And
what?
Well, Stephanie does stay here and not eat all
so
the biscuits.
Sorry.
So I think the treats is tricky. And as somebody whose dress doesn't do up and was averaging about 4 bags of Tangfastic a day.
No, but treats don't have to be necessarily food-based treats. Also, that the treats doesn't have to be, and now eat all of your biscuits. It could be like, oh, cool, like lunchtime, you know? Like, so you break it into little sections. So you're not thinking about, yes. oh God, I've got 8 hours of work today. You're thinking like, okay, I've just got like 2 hours of work and then lunch.
Well, it's like make yourself a lovely, then you can spend several hours just coloring in, you know, lovely.
What part of the working day is that?
That's the coloring in section. Where you just be like, I start work at this time, then I do these blocks. This is it all laid out for you clearly. And then be like, I finish work at this time and then I go home. And you can do a commute, if you like, in which you leave the house, you walk once around the block, you come home, you say, how was your day? I'm saying options.
I'm not shutting you down, and I'm so sorry if it looked like that.
No problems. High five. Yeah. So we find, you know, try that, just walk away from it. Otherwise, you aren't, you're just bleeding your work life into your home life and having two bad versions of both.
Also, I think as well, fully accept that this is, if you're very used to the office environment, this is hard. You're not like stupid or bad or a bad worker for not being able to cope that well with working from home, because you're not supposed to. If you could, then you would have chosen a working from home environment and you didn't.
Yeah.
So also I think speaking to lots of, making sure that you're not solely talking to friends who have always worked from home and are like, isn't it great? Like, don't speak to them. You speak to them a bit, but bitch about it with like friends who are also like going crazy and share tips and like try and create a little network of people. So it feels like you're, because in an office, often, you know, there's a lot of fun office banter, but also there are downtimes where you're just like all silently working or on Slack. So use that into like, what is Slack if not a work WhatsApp? Just go on WhatsApp all day.
Yeah. And like, don't think that you're not, I mean, you're literally not working from home. You're attempting to do your job from your house in the middle of a global pandemic. Mm. So like, cut yourself some serious slack.
And wear a bra.
And clear your workspace.
Yeah, wear a bra. Also, I'm not saying that in some sort of like patriarchal thing. I've just been like, when I'm not wearing a bra, it's like, now it's downtime. And then it's like, and bras on, boobs are working. Like, when the boobs are working for me, I'm working for my boobs. You know?
For me, it's the trainers. Are they laced up? Shoes on? Brains on?
Boobs off?
It's go time. For me, boobs wherever.
Boobs wherever they're going. Yeah, understood. And I like that about you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real nice quick question. Abigail, hello. Do either of you play a musical instrument? Could this be an episode? Oh.
Ooh.
I'll be very honest with you. Absolutely not. My dad is a musician and I've failed him. Tessa, you.
Tell them who he's drummed for.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Oh, don't tell
okay,
them
well,
then.
Fun one. He did drum. I just feel bad. He's watching and he'll be like, oh, great.
Well, I think, I think it's the coolest thing in the world.
When I was nine, okay.
The one about...
I know. So when I was like, for my ninth birthday, he was the drummer for PJ and Duncan, aka Anton Deck. And as a nine-year-old, holy shit, that was the best thing in the whole world. Went to see them loads. And then also Anton Deck left me a birthday voicemail where they sang Happy Birthday to me. And I met them once and I really fancied Ant. As a nine-year-old, I couldn't help it. Anyway.
I don't know which is which, but I...
he tried to teach me drums, and my sister learned drums and was great and has a little drum machine in her house, and I just, like, had no patience for it at all, and really sad. So maybe we could do an episode about how to cope when you've let your parents down.
Yeah, we both feel it. Thank you for this great question. My musical ability extends to grade one piano pass.
That's good.
It's pretty tough to do worse than I did. And I never progressed any further. I had this poor piano teacher called Elma who lived six houses down from me, and I would go to her house on a Wednesday after school, and I'm pretty sure I was the hardest part of her day. because I just couldn't do it. And then I really, really can't sing. When I was six, I was in the Christmas choir in the village.
I love your voice.
Thank you so much, Stevie.
Voice. She's tried so hard.
She does try hard. So I went to the Christmas choir to rehearse, and Max, the organist, who must have been about 80, Max pulled me aside, I was six, and said, maybe it would be best if you stood at the back and mouthed.
Oh, Max!
No. Just a little insight into the level of confidence this six-year-old is packing. I came home and confidently relayed that story because I was like, he's saying that I'm so good that it would be best if I didn't show up the other kids by just...
That's a perfect insight into you as a person.
And even when I got to secondary school and we had to sing in assembly and everyone was always laughing at me, and I truly did not know why they were laughing, because I was like, I'm fantastic. My party piece was doing There's One More Angel in Heaven from Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat, and and singing the like eight-part harmony, which is me. And I truly thought I sounded like this. I thought I should be on the stage. Anyway, no is the answer. Have I, however, been considering buying a fiddle? Yes. I desperately, desperately want to be able to play music. I want to be able to fiddle like I'm on the downstairs on the Titanic.
Oh, that was not where I thought that was going, but fine.
That's where I want to be, in a like a proper like gypsy like fiddling foot stomping band.
Oh yeah, you know? Yeah, like when they go below deck and everyone's like, duh! And yeah, but I also.
Yeah, when you want to go to a real party? Yeah,
but Tessa, I think what you're doing is you're not looking at what you can do. You're looking at what you can't do, because you'd be absolutely perfectly placed to be the dancing woman.
I can't really dance.
No, no, you can't do dancing to time, but you're looking very much like they're like, woo, with your big skirts and the...
Yeah, I'd just be in charge of throwing the skirt around. I think it might be a latent... girl crush on Vanessa May.
I don't know who Vanessa May is.
The violinist.
Oh, well, good luck to both of you. Okay.
Yes, we'd love to do a musical instrument. We'd need to get some proper people.
We can't do an episode on it, because it would be me and Tessa being like, dunno. But I was going to say, but can you? You can't answer. So, fine. I hope you can. I'm sorry that we can't. Emmy's 28. How did you decide to start each podcast episode with your adult things? Oh, I remember this.
Good question.
I remember this because it was when we were first coming up with the idea for the podcast, and I was like, we were at the debrief, and I was a journalist then, so that's how I thought. I remember being like, you were like, we need something fun to get us in, so we're not just being like, hello, this is how you do this, like, I think you came up with the idea of an adult thing, and I think I wanted to do it at the start, and I think that was like a perfect.
And that's teamwork.
That's teamwork. Tessa comes up with the idea, and I go, "Should we do it at the start?" And then we go, "No."
That's the podcast.
I think when we were talking about like what we wanted the podcast to be, and we were like, it's quite a while ago. We're like 27 or 26, and we were like, "Oh, it's to sort of be more adult," but we don't want to call it "Be More Adult" because there were loads of things at the time that were like how to be an adult, adulting for adults, and so. But it was a way of doing it without having to call our podcast like. This is how it's how to be an adult, because it's sort of what it is, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's also a very nice way to get Tessa's anecdotes in, because I don't know if you've noticed, but the how to be an adult thing is me going
out of control.
I took the bin out, and then Tessa's is always an incredibly funny anecdote. So I think it was a way of harnessing her power. I'm telling you.
Yeah, they're nice. They're so nice though, and people really want to tell us about them, which I really, when we do, you know, live things, I really love it. And I think it's such a nice, like, the older you get, the more you're like, oh shit, that was, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like, sorry, the first time you do like a tax return, or like the first time that you did a tax return, you didn't cry, or you bought two of something and you put one in the freezer, you know, like just like little tiny things where you're like, wow. Actually, wow. I came home the other day and had all the ingredients for Pimm's already in the house, including some strawberries I put in the freezer ahead of schedule, and I chopped the green bits off because I know that they go rank. And I was like, I was literally doing it, being like, who's this? Who is this? Anyway, I think it's, so it feels, I don't know. I don't think you ever stop feeling them, but great question.
Yeah. And also it helps us as well. Try and be more adult. Like you say, like in your daily life, you're like, oh, this could be an adult thing, so I'll do it rather than I'll leave it and be like old Stevie, or which is young Stevie, who doesn't do anything adult at all.
Can we take this one from Kelsey? I was going to say, what's your first and or favourite memory of each other?
I can't remember the first time I met you.
Stevie doesn't remember the first time we met. We were in a play together.
Oh, I remember that.
And Stevie was in, well, that was the first.
That was the first time I met.
Well, there we go.
I thought going into that play that I already knew who, oh no, I know where the first time I met you. I watched you do singing. She played, if you've ever seen Singing in the Rain, at uni, they did a production of Singing in the Rain, and I've forgotten the name of the woman that Tessa played, but it's the one who's like, I can't stand him! Like the woman who talks like that, who's the really funny one. And Tessa did it, and she was so good. I was like, who is this? But she was in a different college. We were in like a uni with colleges. So I never really saw her again until we had to do a play in like, this is also uni plays, in like 4 days. So I didn't actually get to chat to you during that. We just did. I would arrive, do the play, and then I'd leave. And I'd be like, and I didn't know my lines, also, and I hated it. Oh, God.
So if you think this is a sort of Wednesday Addams vibe for Stevie now, at university, it was. Holy. It was like head to toe black. It was a choker. She had completely black hair. This like all this eyeliner.
I only wore heels.
And she was very...
I only wore heels.
She was very, very cool. Like, extremely cool.
I looked mental. And
yeah, that's... So therefore, people assumed you were cool because you looked so insane. Anyway, so we were cast in this play together. We'd never met. And it was written... It was like one of those, like, drama festival plays. So it was, like, written by somebody there. And I walked in. I remember being like, oh, shit, this is, like, cool Stevie in second year. And then... above us, they were rehearsing for The Pillow Man, and then all your friends were in it. And I was like, oh, I saw that, not here, but like, I saw that on the reel. I saw that when it first came out. I saw it at school. And you were like, I remember you were like reading something, and you were like, okay.
I've never done that.
Yes.
I'm so nice.
And then,
And then
I said, like, how are they going to do the bit where there's a boy in a coffin? And you were like, oh no, you were in The Pillow Man. I remember now. So I was like, how are they going to do the bit with the coffin? And you were like, I think they won't. No. And then you were really mean.
No, there's
yeah,
no way.
That's what happened.
There's no way that I was mean to you because I was so nervous and shy and I was not horrible.
Sorry.
Okay, well, thanks for your question.
You weren't horrible. You were just really, really cool and aloof. And also the play was about, Steve was playing my mother-in-law and I was supposed to be terrified of her. And I was.
But also as well, I should say that in The Pillow Man upstairs, there was a guy in it who had literally dumped me that week. So I was completely devastated. So if I was ever mean to you, it would have been like, I just wasn't saying enough words because I was...
You weren't mean, you were just cool. And what I see now was heartbreak.
Oh my God, thank you.
It was just, you're just putting up an ice edge to protect your own self and you were just going through something.
And it came off.
But
horrible.
To me, it was you being like, yeah.
I just don't feel like I've ever gone, yeah, to anyone. But yeah.
As you did it then, it was straight back.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Right. Let's move on to the questions. I'm dripping in sweat now.
Like, sorry.
Tessa was amazing and has like, Steve is a bitch.
No, I did say that you were so cool, Stevie, and everybody wanted to be friends with you.
Well, no, you didn't.
No, I know. I was. Just put that straight down your neck. Just have that branding.
So let's do, okay, this is Tom.
Oh, lovely.
I recently turned 30 and I do not feel it at all. Perhaps related. I don't feel professional at work. Any advice on how to feel closer to my age? Professional. He doesn't work in an office. Okay. This is good, actually.
Closer to your age.
Turning 30, nothing. Turning 30 about, I'd say, 100 years ago was like, oh.
You're nearly dead.
Oh, okay. But yes. Now.
100 years ago, you'd barely have survived the plague.
Yes, actually, probably yes. And 30 now is, you could not pay me to go back to my 20s. I would never go. Cannot stand that. You have to look at what you actually have gained and you have so much more knowledge and wisdom and just like, you know who you are so much more now. That doesn't just happen when you like turn 30, obviously, but don't worry about not acting your age because 30, we are, I don't know, I've always been like, well, 30, and I've compared it to what my parents were like at 30. And then this guy was there. But 30 just means, like, millennials have just ripped up the rule book. And we're not, there's no, sort of, 30 isn't a thing. Like, it just is what you are. So just
it's,
do it.
Yeah, it's not a thing. Imagine it's 40. Like, try that. You know, it's like.
Look, imagine you're 80 and you're away.
No, like, we are victims of being given a really, really clear instructions about what adulthood was supposed to be like. And then we all arrived into it and it was literally impossible. So all the things they told us we were supposed to be able to do, like buy a house, you know, have kids, you know, get a dog and a garden and a front porch and all of this stuff. Like they're physically impossible for our generation. And like Stevie's saying, like so many of our parents by the age we all are now had does. Like and when you were a kid, you were like, oh, 30, God, I'll have like 8 kids and a novel. Like, and that's the oldest I can possibly imagine. I'll have bought one novel. And also, of course, like Bridget Jones's Diary. Like,
She's like our age, isn't she? Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's this whole like, oh my God, women, if people are, I mean, I know this is from I don't actually know if it's from a boy or a girl, but it's so like, oh, 30, you know, and I really, really think that our generation are just having to be at the forefront of redefining that and being like, that age is now irrelevant, as it always sort of was. And we literally cannot do the things that we used to do. My granddad told me a story about them buying their first house. They got married when they were 20, my grandparents. And when they were 22, my granddad was doing some work on a farm for somebody. And the farmer said, oh, that old mill is for sale, that old water mill. They live in a Valley in North Wales.
We've all been there.
And who among us has not seen a 16th century old mill in the North Wales Valley? And that my granddad said, oh, how much is it? And he said, oh, I'm going to sell it for £6,000. And my granddad said, I'll offer you four. And he had £3,000 in his pocket.
Right, that's, yeah, different time.
What a different time. And then he just gave him the cash and said, I'll come round again and give you the rest or something. And that's my grandparents' house. And like, I don't know if you've ever experienced what it's like trying to buy a house these days, but like, it could not be, those experiences could not be more separate. And so obviously that's a pretty insane example because, well, I don't know if it is. I think things just were easier. And so we were fed stories both from the movies and from our actual parents and grandparents. They were like, this is how we did it. Our first house cost £20,000. And that's where we had you and your brothers.
Like, right. You know? But also the more like, practically, like in terms of how to feel your age, I will say that I have found since I turned 30, brilliant. Since I turned 30, I'm more like, oh no, like I will, for example, I bought a black t-shirt the other day, plain black, £35 from a sustainable brand. Cause I was like, one black t-shirt that for £35 is better than buying 17 million that they keep shrinking in the wash and I keep buying them from Primark. So that's also a way, I'm not saying like to spend loads of money on t-shirts. I mean, know what you like. And you are able to now at 30 be more discerning about how you want to live. And I think that's kind of how you can feel mature, you know, like if you want to feel closer to your age, like in terms of the adult things that we talk about, no one ever feels their age ever. You just never, ever, ever feel the age that you are, but you can make yourself feel a bit like, one of the benefits of being 30 is being like, I know what type of wine I want to drink. And I'd be like, do you have a Merlot? Thank you, sir. Goodbye.
Exactly. I, you know who you are a bit more. You've got the confidence to be like, yeah, this is what I like. And I don't really care who knows it. There's Stevie just having a brandy. No one will tell her different, you know? And, it's so, in Dolly Alderton's book, Everything I Know About Love, she did a bit at the end about turning 30 and said it was like leaving a cheap hostel and checking into a nice hotel. Mm. And I think that's a really good way of looking at it that makes you feel more positive about 30 and be like, yeah, it's all right, actually. And I was on a Zoom call with a bunch of school friends the other day, two of whom were showing us a baby and one of whom was breastfeeding. And if you don't have babies or you aren't engaged or you aren't, you know, and so many people are getting married and doing all these sort of things. And if that isn't what's happening for you, it's very easy to be like, but everybody's doing their own book at their own pace and they're just on a different chapter and you just got to not freak out and don't worry about it. And I know this is really preachy because I'm one who's always like, well, we're running out of time. But it's like, what a waste of energy to be, you know, just do.
It's literally the amount of time you've gone around the sun. That's all it is. Like, it literally doesn't mean anything. It's just a number that then we've attached meaning to. So don't even worry about it.
Exactly. We put all this nonsense.
This is definitely two women who have turned 30 recently, isn't it?
Who are just constantly saying, it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything, we say while screaming and clawing at the walls and having a brandy. No, it's nothing. It's nonsense. It's a construct. We've made it up. You know, you don't have to, don't give into it. And also, like I say, like 100 years ago, we'd all be dead. Like 30, you know, people got married so much earlier. People did things at different ages. And my absolute favorite tweet of all time is this tweet that says, like, if I was people who are 26 now, like blah, 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 being 26 in like the 1900s, being 26 in like 80 BC. And it says like, sorry, my favorite thing, being 26 in 80 BC, I have lived a good life. Once I ate an apple and thrice a pear. Makes me laugh so much because you're like, yeah, honestly, you would have gone to your deathbed at age 26 being like, I've lived a good life, thrice a pear, you know? And so it's all just meaningless.
It's all meaningless.
Just have a nice time and chill there. Chill the hell out, everyone.
And that's a good way to sort of end things. Have a nice time and chill out, everybody. I think it's a lovely thing. Chill out, everyone. Chill out.
I'm so sorry we didn't get to everybody's questions.
Sorry about that.
It's so nice that you hung out with us. We didn't know if anyone would want to come.
Yeah, or ask questions.
So we're thrilled you.
Everyone.
Or ask questions. It's so tricky.
You did great questions. Excellent questions.
And that's such a like, at the end of a lecture, when somebody says any questions, make sure you just ask a question.
That's actually a very good piece of advice.
It's great life advice. So I'm so thankful that everybody asked a question. Thank you so, so much.
And if you are like, oh, don't mind watching, we have an Only Connect. Well, it's not even we, it's very much Tess's thing.
It's a dual operation. Where would I be without Richard?
Well, so it's the Only Connect, the Nobody Panic version of Only Connect, which is a quiz. And I've not seen Only Connect, so I dress up as Richard Osman and do like facts because I've only seen Pointless. But then last time, Tessa forgot to ask me to say the fact.
Any
I just dressed up as Richard Osman, just sat there for like an hour. Actually, I did quiz.
Also, you had it. Normally I road test all the questions on Stevie so she can do facts about the questions. But this time she's like, I'm not going to listen to your first round. And so then all the questions were coming up in real time for Stevie and you just kept shouting, I don't know.
I didn't know.
Like, I know you don't know.
I didn't get it.
And you didn't know.
I loved it. And you don't have to know the Only Connect sort of format. You can just have a nice time. Your brain will be
good. You just want to come and play a quiz.
My brain does not work with it, so I just love watching other people have a go. So that's on the 28th of May, and we put the Zoom link,
which is the Thursday.
We put the Zoom link.
We've done them on the Tuesday on the past, so don't get don't get thrown.
One's getting thrown.
8:05 after the clap. Sorry.
No,
Richard.
That's so fine. 8:05 after the NHS clap, if you fancy it. And then we have the Zoom with the Zoom link goes on our Twitter at Nobody Panic Pod on the day at 4:30, and then you know to get there. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. And if you're listening at home, I hope that was intelligible and it wasn't absolutely insane. But I thought your questions were excellent, and we gave some all right advice considering.
I think we did a-okay.
I'm gonna celebrate with a brandy
and this jar of cucumber.
Please do follow us at Nobody Panic Pod. We also got nominated for a British Podcast Award today. Last episode that we did in Manchester.
This one was about what to do when you run into your ex, and a couple who had broken up and were attempting not to rekindle their passion but to be friends were like, yes, we can go on just a friend activity. And they had shown up to it, and it was, and we were like, the title is What to Do When You Run Into
Your Ex. They're now married. Yeah. But yes, have a lovely rest of your week. We will be back with a normal episode of the podcast next week. And stay safe. Have a nice time. Enjoy brandy and orange. But this is one of the best drinks I've ever tried.
Thank you so, so much. And we will see you again.
Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast, and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.